Friday night, a mini riot. It was just a group of teenagers fighting in the middle of the mall, you know, and while she was trying to circumvent the mall and trying to work her way through the mall, they started a fight. And she jumped into a children's place and hid behind a bunch of little kids. She's hiding out there while they, and she said, told me, she says, you know, at first she thought it was a flash mob, okay? Now, how many of you know what a flash mob is? It looks like all of them are under, well, I'm not. I know what they are, so let's say under 50 years old. If you're over 50, you probably don't know what a flash mob is. Now, this is my understanding of what a flash mob is, okay? Is that they send out a text, a Facebook. It's a message that's sent out to a mass group of people, a large group of people saying, and it might be something like this, might be, meet in Hallmark on Namioke Road in Granite City at 6 o'clock, meet in the center of Hallmark and sing the Star Spangled Banner. And then there's at 6 o'clock just a whole bunch of people flood in there, go into the middle of Hallmark and sing the Star Spangled Banner, okay? And buy a greeting card. But that's my idea. So she thought it was a flash mob. Somebody, you know, everybody was just going to rush in to meet in the middle of the mall. And then when they got in the middle of the mall, they was going to sing some song, you know, like Baptize Me Jesus or something, you know? That's what they was going to do. But flash mob. And, but the fact is, here's you say, Brother Dave, what's your point in this? I don't know if there's much of a point or not. But, you know, I've been praying, Lord, I wish that we'd have such a move of God and revival in Bethel Chapel that it would be like a flash mob. Everybody say, did you hear what's going on at Bethel Chapel? And people just flood to see what God is doing, right? Amen. Can you say, well, can that happen? Sure it can. Amen. I believe that God can move in such a mighty, mighty, powerful way. Amen. That it would spread, the news would spread across this town, across this area. Amen. That God is moving. Amen. That it would almost be, you know, Brother Tom told me this morning, he said, you know, you have to get here early to this church if you want a back seat. And think about that for a minute. Amen. But I wish it had get so you'd have to get here early just to get a seat. Amen. Amen. That God would give us such a revival, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Book of 1 Samuel, if you would, tonight. Book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Verse 16 is where we'll begin reading. Verse 16, 13 and 16. 1 Samuel 13, 16. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, and the people that were present with them, abode in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth into Ophrah, unto the land of Shul. And another company turned the way at Beth-horon. And another company turned into the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zeboim toward the wilderness. And notice that Saul has got his group, and then the Philistines have got their army. I want you to notice, look at verse 17, and the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. The spoilers. The spoilers. Amen. You know, a spoiler, when you think of what is a spoiler? Well, in a competitive world, how many of you know what would be considered a spoiler? Come on. I know some of you guys know what, come on. Thank you, Brother Gabe. I mean, it's not, okay, so you know what competition's all about. It's not like we're going to, you know, anyway. Your team is doing good. Your team is on a roll, all right? They are winning every game. It's getting close to the end, and they can already taste victory. They can already just taste the championship. It's theirs. It's theirs. They're going into their last game. If they win this last game, it's all theirs. They get the whole box of marbles or whatever, all right? They get it all. You can just taste the victory. You can sense, I mean, they've already got the Gatorade stirred up, okay? Hey man, Notre Dame has already got the Gatorade stirred up and they're ready for the championship. They're ready to celebrate. They've got it all prepared. Hey man, they have got it all together. All right? They're ready, man. They're doing it. And here comes this team that is a nobody. They're a bunch of losers. They're no good. Okay? They're no good. This team is a bunch of losers, a bunch of nobodies. And here they come. They think they come down to the championship. They say, they are nothing. They're nothing. We don't even need to go out there today. And guess what? That team of nobodies goes out there and cleans up, man. They destroy that team that's sensing victory. They are called the spoiler, because when the victory was right there, it was right there for the taking. And here come this other team, and they spoiled it. They ruined it. Ah, man. It don't matter if it's a team sport or an individual sport. You get sensing victory. You get sensing that word, man, I am so close. I am so close to victory. And if you're an individual, you're ready to pour the Gatorade on yourself. You are just that close to victory. And then here comes this nobody, and it spoils your party. Ah, a spoiler. A spoiler. I'm going to talk to you tonight about spoilers. Spoilers. When I read that about these Philistines, coming out of the camp of the Philistines, all of them came out in three different groups. They were called spoilers. They had, you know, they had sensed and they had heard about Israel's recent recovery. Israel is going through a time when they're feeling pretty spunky. Is that a spunky's a word, right? They're feeling pretty good about themselves. They're feeling pretty good. You know, they've got themselves a new king now. And my, what a man he is. Why, he stands taller than everybody else, head and shoulders above everybody else in the country. My, what a man. They're feeling good about themselves now. They're not just a wondering about group of people, but now they've got a king. They've got a king like all the other nations. Like all the other nations. And man, he is quite the king. He looks good with a crown. He looks good, man. He stands out in a crowd. They're feeling good about themselves. They've been having a little bit of a recovery here. They've been experiencing a little bit of a revival. They've had this prophet named Samuel, and he's been a man of God, and he's kind of been the leader of this recovery and this revival that's going on in the land of Israel. And the people are excited, and the people are rejoicing, and the king stands up and says, hey, we're ready to go do some battle. We're ready to go do some fighting. Who's on my side, man? They all get fired up, and here they come out of the woodwork. They're ready to go to battle. They're ready to fight. They're ready to do it, man, because we've got ourselves a new king. Every revival has a rival. Okay? has a rival. Not a rival, but a rival. All right? They had a rival. They had somebody said, you know what? Those little no good for nothing Israelites think that they are special. Think they're something? We're just going to have to go out and we're going to have to show them a thing or two. So the Philistines come out. They come out in great number. They come out in a mighty, mighty force. And they encamp there at Michmash. The Bible says that it was such a mighty force that it terrified the hearts of the people of Israel. They were these that were having a revival of sorts got so scared when they saw the mighty army of the Philistines, said they ran and they hid in caves. They ran and they found hiding places. They were hiding out because they were so afraid. Here, this army that Saul had accumulated only had two swords. Wow. Talking about, you know, bringing a knife to a gunfight. Here they were. They was coming up against the mighty army. The mighty host of the Philistines. Well, let me tell you something. You know, every time the church starts feeling a little bit of revival, every time the church starts feeling a little bit good about herself, maybe it's individually. Maybe you're having a spiritual move. You're having a revival in your own home, a revival in your own family, a spiritual move of God. Maybe every time the church starts thinking about revival, amen, that's when the rival wants to show up. Amen. That's when the rival, our arch enemy, amen, no, not the Philistines, but Satan himself, likes to show up and try to spoil things. Amen. Spoilers. Man, spoilers. Spoilers, they're the ones that go in and they take everything that's good. They take everything that's positive. They take everything that is of worth. Spoil it. When a mighty army would take over another country, they would spoil it. They would take all of the gold, all the silver, take all the wealth out of that country, and they would spoil that. They would leave it, the place, desolate. They would leave it ruined. They would leave it with nothing. They would spoil it. And that's what Satan likes to do to the church. Every time we think about revival, he wants to spoil it.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, he does. Man, we've been having wonderful services. God's been helping us. I can't help but get excited about revival. I can't help but get excited. I can't help but anticipate what God's going to do. But understand, amen, the rival, amen, does not want you to have revival. Amen. And he wants to do all he can to spoil what God would like to do in your life. He would like to come in and ruin what God is trying to accomplish in our life today. Amen. These Philistines, they were a formidable enemy. They were tough. Now, the Philistines of that day, they had been a thorn in the side of the people of Israel for a long time. But the Philistines in that time, they were pretty tough. They were those that had modern technology. They had chariots. They talked about their chariots. They were like a modern day, powerful, improved army tank. They would run right through the host of the enemy and destroy them. They were powerful. It was like a cutting edge, modern day, weapon of warfare that they used. And that was something, not everybody had chariots. Not everybody had those things. And the people of Israel sure didn't have chariots. But the enemy had a chariot. Had an army full of chariots. Not only that, the army, the Philistines, had learned the art of taking iron and turning it into swords and weapons. Israel didn't have that technology. Israel didn't have the Ten. That's why they only had two swords. Get this, if you read that in the scripture, it says it was so bad that they even had to take their plows and all their instruments, their working instruments, and they had to take it to the Philistines to be sharpened, to be repaired. They had to, because all the smiths of that day was in the Philistines. They didn't even have the technology to do it themselves. And now here they were going against the enemy. That was their enemy. Sometimes we look on and, you know, sometimes we feel like, hey man, Satan has it all. That we have no way to compete against him. That we have no way to stand against this enemy. Hallelujah. After all, he's our rival. He wants to come and spoil. He wants to come and spoil, hey man, what God is trying to do in your life. Amen. The people of Israel were distressed. They were so thrown back on their heels that the enemy had come out to spoil them. They were terrified. They were afraid. Amen. And so they began to run. They began to hide. Amen. They did not want to face this modern day, amen, mighty army that had come against them. Amen. They were so terrified. They knew the stories of the Philistines, how they had come against Abraham. They knew the stories of how they had stopped up the wells that Abraham had dug. They had remembered the stories of how the Philistines had come and brought idols among the people of Israel and destroyed them and robbed them and plundered the nation of Israel all through the book of Judges. I mean, the Philistines were a thorn in their side over and over and over again. They remembered how the Philistines had come and taken the Ark of God right from them. They remember those stories. They remember those things. The Philistines, eventually they beheaded Saul, hung his body out, stripped him of all of his armor. I mean, these guys were some pretty tough characters. The Philistines, they had been involved in battle after battle after battle after battle with the children of Israel. And can I tell you, in most of the cases, the children of Israel came out on the losing end. They did. Sad. No wonder they was probably terrified. And maybe you start to think about, you know, man, revival. Revival. Well, man, I tell you, I'm just kind of scared of revival. Last time I got revived, last time I got refilled with the Holy Ghost, the devil attacked me. And I'll tell you what, he beat me up for 3 weeks after I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, last time I had revival, last time we had revival, it was so bad. Hey, man, I was afflicted for I don't know how long. I went into the deepest, darkest trial I'd ever had. I don't know, man, revival. I don't know. Is it worth it? Hey, man, oh, I believe it is still worth to have revival. Hallelujah. Hey, man, sometimes we need to get our eyes off the enemy. Hey, man, the spoilers. Let me just tell you, that word there, the spoiler, it means basically, amen, to ruin, to corrupt, to decay. It means to pervert or to corrupt that which is good. And that's what Satan desires to do. He tries to corrupt and pervert everything that is good. Amen. When we do not prepare ourselves, the spoiler comes in. When we are confused and uncertain about what we're doing, amen, the spoiler comes in. When we begin into a place of prosperity or blessing, and God is moving in our life, that's when the spoiler is going to come in. Amen. You can just about count on any time you have revival. Amen. He will try to spoil it. Amen. I want to talk to you about three spoilers real fast. Amen. What does Satan want to spoil? What is it that you have that he wants to spoil? First of all is your faith. Faith is the cornerstone of everything we accomplish in God. Faith is the foundation stone that we build everything on. Every miracle that we receive, it's because we believe in God and have faith. Every time we're filled with the Holy Ghost, it's because we believe and we have faith in God, amen, to be our baptizer. Anytime we see somebody saved, they're praying an altar, it's because they put their faith in God and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Faith is the cornerstone. Amen. And he wants to destroy your faith. He wants to rob you of that faith. He wants to take it out, amen, so that you cannot use that to have revival. And sometimes it's easier for you than you think. Amen. And what does he use to rob us of our faith? First of all, he uses doubt. He uses doubt. Amen. Some of you were already doubting when Brother Blue was testifying and talking about, amen, their revival. The doubt that you had was, well, I doubt it will happen here. Yeah. The doubt already settled into your mind. As soon as he says, talked about a miracle, the doubt settled in your mind. Well, God will do that for a 3 or 4 year old, but I don't know if he'll do it for me. I don't know if he'll do it for me. The doubt already begins because Satan uses that doubt, amen, to spoil our faith, amen, to rob us of the faith that we need, amen, to have revival and to see God move in our life. Amen. Do not let him rob you of revival. Do not let him spoil your faith. Amen. Can God heal? Yes, he can. Can God do miracles? Yes, he can. Will he do it in Bethel Chapel? Yes, he will. Will he do it in your life? Yes, he will. Hallelujah. Well, I prayed for my loved ones a long time, and they've never got saved. I mean, my loved ones aren't getting out of jail. They're going to jail. My loved ones aren't getting delivered from alcohol. They're turning to alcohol. Man, Satan wants to rob you of your faith. He wants to rob you of what God wants to do. Amen. God wants to do a work here. Amen. God is ready to bring revival. Oh, don't let him spoil your faith. Don't let him spoil your faith. Amen. You know, here's how he does it. It's called a question mark. Question marks. Puts a question mark on everything. Makes you question everything. Is this really God? I don't want to be in the flesh. Is this really God? Man, he's all over you. He's all over the church house. He's moving everywhere around you. Is this God? Is this God? Other people are rejoicing. Other people are shouting. Other people are being blessed. Is this God? Is this God? Oh, don't let him put that question in your mind. Amen. Don't let him begin to spoil your faith by making you question every little thing. Amen. Don't question everybody else. Don't question what's going on in everybody else's life. Well, I don't know if that's really of God or not. I don't know if they live good enough to have a move of God like that. I don't know. From what I've seen of them, I just don't know if God would do that for them. I don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm much more spiritual than they are, and I didn't feel that. So I don't know if that what they're feeling is really God. Amen. Oh, they're just trying to stir something up. They're just probably trying to stir revival up. You know, if the pastor would settle down, maybe we could have church, but he's just up there trying to stir something up. Amen. Yeah, of course I am. I try to do it every service. Amen. I don't want us to sit here. I want to try to stir something up. Amen. But don't let Satan put questions in your mind and spoil your faith. Amen. Believe that God is doing something. Believe that God is working. Hallelujah. Believe. Amen. Satan wants to rob and spoil our joy. Our joy. You know what? Joy, okay? Joy is a byproduct of the Holy Ghost. Joy is the byproduct of what the Holy Ghost is doing in your life. That's right, as the Holy Ghost begins to move in your life, there should be joy. Joy is a sign that God is moving in your life, that the Holy Ghost is working in your life. Amen. Joy. You don't need to feel guilty for feeling joy. You don't need to feel, I need to be careful. Somebody else may not have been blessed like I was blessed, and I don't want them to feel bad or anything like that. But if you feel joy, rejoice in it. Amen. Express your joy. There's no way you need to feel guilty about having joy, because it's the side effect of the Holy Ghost working in your life. Hallelujah. If I see somebody that's got joy unspeakable, and full of glory, I said, well, man, the Lord must really be blessing them. God must really be working in their life. Amen. It is a product of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But Satan likes to rob us of the joy. He likes to rob us of the joy. Oh, he's good at this one, okay? Because that's where the trials come in. Yeah. See, while everything is good, we can have joy. We can have joy, you know? Everything's good and it's, ooh, wee-hee. Everything's good. And then suddenly the trials come and it's, oh, my. The joy is gone. Amen. He brings the trial into our life. Amen. But when I read about Paul and his trials, amen, he did not let the trial rob him of his joy. Amen. He said, I count it all joy. Amen. All joy. Amen. It's a joyful thing. Amen. To be counted worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't let Satan rob you of the joy. Amen. When the Spirit of God begins to move, amen, there may be a few hardships. There may be a few trials. But don't let Satan rob you of your joy. Hallelujah. And how else does he rob you of your joy? By discouraging you. By discouraging you. Yeah. You see, man, if he can just get you discouraged about your circumstances, if he can just get you discouraged about your not being healed, if he can get you discouraged about not receiving the blessing, if you get you discouraged about not being filled with the Holy Ghost, though everybody else around you is being filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, if he can discourage you, he's going to rob you, amen, of the joy that God would love to bring into your life. Amen, if he could do that, he would love to spoil it. Don't get discouraged. Amen, we sing that tonight. Hang in there. Hang in there. Hang in there. Don't you dare give up. Sometimes when we sing that, some of you, I get the feeling that some of you are like, huh? If you kind of raise your eyebrows at that one, it's because you've not had to intercede and push through and tarry and wait on God and plead with God and work your way through there. And you're probably the one that gave up long before you ever received the Holy Ghost because you got discouraged and went and sat down. Amen. If you just hang in there a little longer, amen, I believe that God's going to bring a breakthrough. Hang in there a little bit longer. Tarry in an altar. Wait on God. Don't get discouraged, but hang in there and see what God will do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me tell you something else. He likes to oppress us. Satan likes to oppress us, and that's how he robs us of joy. Okay? All right? I probably need to illustrate this just a little bit, so if you bear with me, all right? All right. I need all you boys in the front, all you black-suited mafia guys right there, come up here. Stand in the middle. Okay? Jay, John, come up. I need you to. Okay? It just overwhelms you, and it's such a weight that it oppresses you. It pushes you down. Amen. You feel like there's no way out. There is no escape. You're just overwhelmed. That's oppression. Amen. And you may be feeling good, but you wake up tomorrow, and all of a sudden, roar, your whole world comes crumbling in on you. Fear grips your heart. You feel like God has let you down. You wonder, where is God? Amen. You get nervous. You get afraid because now, Lord, what have I done wrong? Amen. Listen, it's just the enemy trying to rob you of the joy of the Lord that you have. Amen. Because God is working in your life. Don't let him spoil your joy. Don't let him spoil your joy. Amen. One other way he tries to rob you of your joy is he wants to take away the victories of the past. When we look back at everything that we rejoice that God has done in our life, he wants to take that away from us. If he can rob you of all your past victories, I mean, what do you have to rejoice in? If he'll rob, and he will try to destroy every victory that you've ever had and rob you of that victory. Do not forget, amen, that God gave you every one of those victories. Amen. Those victories came from the Lord. Amen. It was the work of God. Hallelujah. He'll attack you in every area of your life that you've already experienced victory. That's right. You've got victory over this area of your life, he'll attack that area because he wants to try to rob you of that victory. You feel like, man, I've had victory over that for a long time. And all of a sudden, that's the area that you are tempted. That's the area that he comes against you with every temptation imaginable, trying to make you, well, maybe I don't have victory there. Maybe I didn't have victory. Don't let him rob you of the joy of past victories. Amen. Because he will attack every one of those things in your life. You say, I've got victory over that now. I've got victory over that now. I've got victory over that now. Be careful, because he's going to test that victory. He's going to test that victory. If you look at one of these places, that when you read the locations that the Philistines went out to attack, one of those was the valley or the area where the children of Israel had great victory. God had helped them. God had won the battle for them. If I'm not mistaken, it was the place where God sent lightning down to fight for the children of Israel and to give them the victory. Amen. I mean, now that's where the enemy wants to attack. And that's what he wants to do in your life, to rob you and to spoil the joy. Amen. One other one, real quickly. He wants to rob you of revival. Spoil revival. He don't want us to have revival. He does not want. No. He does not want you to have revival. So he's going to do everything he can to try to spoil revival. He uses recreation. He'll get you to hold a grudge. He'll try to get you offended at somebody. He wants you to become critical of somebody else. He wants to embitter you over the situations of your life right now. He wants you to stop coming to church. That's a good way to spoil revival. He wants you to see all the imperfections of everybody else in the church. Okay? Has Satan ever spoiled your revival? Has he ever done that? Because let me tell you, he's got a lot of methods that he uses to try to spoil revival. But one thing, they fall under a couple of different categories, but one of them is unity. He wants to destroy the unity of the church. Be careful. Amen. Be careful. Amen. Because, listen, He uses some of the, you know, we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices, right? We need to understand how Satan works. Be careful. Don't become an instrument of Satan that he has used to spoil revival. Do not let him use you, amen, to become offended or to become critical or to point out everybody's imperfections and worry about everybody else. Amen. Do not let Satan destroy the unity that is in the body of Christ. Amen. If you look at the book of Acts, what they had was because they were in one mind and one accord. They were in unity. Amen. Amen. I tell you, you don't like the way I do everything. I understand that. I really do. And I'm sorry. I will not try to change. But I am sorry. That's just the way, you know, if I tried to do it your way, somebody else wouldn't like it. You know what I mean? So I just got to be me and let the Lord help me. So don't, you know what? Somebody else in the church, they can't just do everything to please you either, because there's somebody else that would be displeased with him. Same way, do not let Satan spoil the unity. The unity. Hallelujah. Amen, because I believe it's key to revival. Hallelujah. There's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers in the territories out west. It's with the U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Can I tell you this? Hey, man, there's only one way to handle the spoiler. There's only one way to handle the spoiler. Hey, man, if you go on to the next chapter, you find Jonathan and his armor bearer. Greatly outnumbered. Greatly outnumbered. But yet they said, you know what? If it's of God, we're going to attack these guys. Hey, man, are you afraid? I'm not afraid. I'm with you.
We can do this. Amen. And then Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistines. Amen. He attacked them and they won a great victory that day. Amen. And because of that victory, because Jonathan said, I'm not going to let them spoil what I've got. I'm not going to let them spoil the good things of God. I'm not going to let them spoil the revival that our nation is experiencing. Amen. And encouraged the rest of the army. Amen. The rest of the army, amen, rose up and Israel had victory that day. Amen. Can I tell you, amen, it just takes one person, amen, that'll say, I am not going to be spoiled of my revival and what God wants to do. Amen. But I'm going to claim victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody's got to face the enemy. Somebody's got to refuse. Got to refuse to be spoiled. Say, I will not let it happen. I will not let it happen. Amen. Somebody needs. I'll tell you what. When one person says, I'm going to fight back. I'm not going to let Satan spoil revival. Not good. You know what? I believe it'll encourage every one of us. And you know what? We don't have to be spoiled either. We don't have to be robbed. Amen. But I believe we can have revival. Hallelujah. God wants to do something in our life. God, I feel like we're on the threshold of God doing something wonderful for us. But there's no need for us to let Satan come in right now and spoil. Let me tell you, he's sly. He is sly. There'll be something that'll try to keep you from revival. There'll be something. Something will come. You know what? You'll probably go in tomorrow at work and they'll say, hey, want you all to work overtime this week. Come on, don't let him spoil revival. Don't let him spoil revival. You may get a call from the family tomorrow that says, you know, so-and-so's fighting with so-and-so, and it's all because of you, and we're blaming you, and you're the bad guy here, and because you don't ever get involved in our life, and you try to stay out of everything, and we're blaming you because everything's falling apart. If you'd be involved in our life, nothing would fall apart, and now it's falling apart because you're not involved in our life. Yeah. Follow me?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? And you're going to be... Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Don't let Satan spoil revival. Yeah. Don't let him spoil revival.
Amen.
Amen. Wednesday morning, you're going to wake up. I don't know if I'm feeling too good. Hey, man, don't let him spoil revival. Don't let him spoil revival, all right? Man, what do you need God to do during revival? What is it that you want God to do in your life? Hey, man, as we stand right now, I want you to be thinking about that. What do you want God to do in revival? You can make your wish list of revival right now. What do you want God to do? What would be that number one thing on the list that you need God to do for your life right now, for your soul, for your heart? Man, what do you need God to do for your family? What do you need God to do, amen, that you could climb up higher? Amen. Do you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And do you need God to do a miracle for you?
Yes. Amen.
Do you need God to do something unbelievable? Do you just need a refreshing? Do you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost? Do you need a breakthrough in your walk with God? Do you need to see loved ones that's saved and loved ones come back to the Lord? Do you need to see God do some kind of a miracle for you? What is it that you need God to do for you during this revival? During this revival. Hallelujah. Amen, I believe that God wants to do it. Amen, but I also believe that our rival wants to spoil revival. Hallelujah. Dear Jesus, God, I ask you, Lord, God, that you would move on our hearts right now. God, that you would help us to have victory. Help us to overcome the enemy. Don't let us be robbed. God, don't let Satan spoil revival in our heart, Lord. God, but I ask you, Lord Jesus, God, that you would move for us. And we'll give you the glory and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I want you to come, church. Amen. Let's come, if you would. Let's come believe that God is going to give us revival. I want you to feel led and be led of God to pray for somebody. If you feel led to pray with someone, I want you to, amen, feel led to go and lay your hand on them and pray for their victory tonight, all right? Hallelujah.
Tell me who.